Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Zion.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Paul Dottino today. Unfortunately, no David Deal, but fortunately, a little bit more of Paul Dottino. How you doing, man?
Hey, good to see you again, Anita. It has been a long and exhausting week for all of us.
Well, it's only Wednesday, so it's not the week isn't over yet.
You mean
Paul.
We need more gas to get to Friday?
Yeah. That we do. And again, as we I always say this, Big Blue Kickoff Live, this is a show for the fans. So phone lines are open. I'm sure that fans definitely want to chime in. And in all that has taken place the past 2 days, 201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you do get in. Also, I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. So hashtag Giants Chat if you want to ask a question or, of course, make a comment. And I will share it on the program. But first and foremost, I would like to say this. Man, am I going to miss head coach Tom Coughlin.
I think all of us will. And yeah. 12 years, two Super Bowl championships, not just him, but a lot of members of his staff. You know, whenever a new coach comes in, usually he doesn't retain too many guys from the staff. So whoever winds up leaving this building, I think we all say thank you for everything that they've done, their cooperation, their respect, their professionalism, and, of course, all of their accomplishments. But Coach Coughlin, as we just discussed, as we were doing the MSG show, David Deal and I were able to knock that thing out. And, by the way, 2 o'clock on MSG today will be the wrap-up of our press conference show, and I invite you to get a look at that. The things about Coach Coughlin that we will always take with us besides the one loss record, him as a man, him as a leader, him as an example setter. I can honestly tell you, he taught me a lot about just being a person. And you know, I'm no spring chicken now, but I still learned some things from him.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And granted, listen, you've been covering this team for 30 years. I've only been covering this team for 6. But all 6 years was covering head coach Tom Coughlin. And I will say this. Yeah, and what's really neat, I think, about yesterday's press conference, Paul, was that I think the public got to see a part of him that maybe you don't get to see, of course, because really he didn't make himself too available to the media. Of course,
right.
He did certain interviews on a number of our Giant shows, and he always did his press conference on Tuesday. But the Tom Coughlin that a lot of us have covered him, have come to really love and admire, is the one that looked out in that audience. I might get a little emotional here, but when he looked out in that audience and he looked at Eli and he said, "Eli, this is not your fault, and you're the kind of man that anyone would love to have as a son." I mean, just to me that was the highlight of the press conference yesterday, and I think really showed folks exactly what Tom Coughlin is made of. So with that being said, very 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 sad here yesterday. Sad to see Tom go. But one thing that I think now, Paul, as difficult as it sounds, is now Giants fans and this organization needs to move on. We say next man up a lot when it comes to a player who gets injured.
Your favorite phrase.
Yeah, and it's next man up. And really, for the Giants, it's next coach up. And so that's kind of where I'd like to kind of focus this show in regard to where does the organization go from here?
Well, we do know that John Mara spoke yesterday and told everybody that Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, and Ben McAdoo, the offensive coordinator, will be 2 of the interviews. Now, we don't know how many there will be. We know that John and Jerry Reese, the general manager, are going to be the initial interviews. And then after that, the rest of the ownership will also get involved as they narrow it down to some finalists. Mr. Mara said it would happen sooner rather than later. He did not preclude the fact that they could dip into the college ranks, although if you know anything about Giants history, that's not something they usually do. He also did not say that the guy had to have a connection with the organization. Again, that's not something the Giants usually do. They usually go with someone who has been here in one way, shape, or form at one time or another before going totally outside to bring in a new head coach. But, again, John Mara was not ruling any of that stuff out. So, in my mind, Anita, I'm kind of thinking – you know, they're going to be very careful and very judicious, because it may be the most important offseason that this franchise has had in a good 40 years.
Yeah, there are not a lot of names that are out there circulating right now. One that I'm really big on, and you can understand why, because he's a dear friend of mine, and that's Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson right now apparently has been asked to interview with the Cleveland Browns, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Miami Dolphins. Have not heard yet if he will interview with the New York Football Giants. I'm hoping that happens, because I'm just probably his biggest fan. And when you talk about Tom Coughlin, the one thing that I think really he brought to the table is he was a leader of men. And I think you saw that, and you saw how much in his speech, his farewell speech, how much he communicated that. This isn't just coaching X's and O's. This is coaching men for life,
right?
Life after football. And one thing that I think Hugh does bring to the table is that he is a leader of men, and men follow him. And I saw that in his time in Baltimore, and I saw that in his time in Oakland and whatnot. Also, Sean Payton is out there, but as we know, this is a head coach that if whoever does go after him, potentially, possibly might have to give up a draft pick.
I think what happens, Anita, is that the rumor mill will give you all kinds of names, of which many of them will already be under contract to another team. And so a lot of things have to happen, just so people understand the mechanism that the NFL works under. If you've got a coach who's currently under contract, whether he's an assistant or a head coach, you have to get permission from the team that already has him under contract to then speak with that particular person and say, okay, we'd like to talk to you. We're interested. When the permission is granted by a team that already has that guy under contract, then they figure out, well, if it's a match, what kind of compensation is there going to be? So that's the process. Okay? So I'm going to tell you now, as folks, as you call into us at 201-939-4513, or as you hit us up on Twitter, we're not going to speculate on any names. That's not going to happen. I'm going to be very blunt with you, because, quite frankly, the only two names we've been given by John Mara were McAdoo and Spagnuolo. So if you want us to talk about the qualities that they bring and the types of things that they might be able to do if they were the head coach, I'm more than happy to talk about that. But I'm not talking about anybody who's under contract to another team, because it's not fair to them, it's not fair to those teams, and it's not fair to the Giants. So why don't we just keep the coaching comments to the two guys that we know are getting interviews.
All right, let's head out to our phone lines, 201-939-4513. We go to line 3. Steve is calling in from Staten Island. Steve, welcome.
Good afternoon, Anita. Excuse me. How you doing, Paul?
Hi.
How are you today, buddy?
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk. All right. excuse me. I have to vent on this for a minute, okay, about some of those things yesterday from that press conference. And, you know, again, not to continuously beat a dead horse yet, but kudos to Tom Coughlin and the amazing job he's done in etching his name in Giant folklore. And that, to me, that's something, as a real Giant fan, I don't think I'm ever going to forget. You know, I got to tell you, I'm by the old saying, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And what I mean by that is, I'm sorry, and I know you guys don't want to dwell on the coaching possibilities, and I get that, but I mean, I listen, I could be wrong. I could be spitballing here. But this has the writing of Ben McAdoo as head coach written all over it. And if you couldn't indicate that by Jerry Reese's lame press conference, then I don't know what you can indicate. Okay? I got to tell you something. With all due respect to Mr. Mara, either you're going to throw the guy under the bus or you're going to praise him for the job he's doing. What's it going to be? Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't think his father, Wellington, ever would have done anything like that. That's number one. And then I got to listen to Reese talk about the deeper in the draft you go, the less talent you have. Really? Anybody here with the name Tom Brady? Let me know how that worked out with the less talent he's talking about. To me, and again, I could be on the outside looking in here, guys. I'm telling you, I think the chips were stacked against against Coughlin on purpose, because they knew they wanted him out just to make room for McAdoo. This is how I feel. This is how I take it. This is how I see it. And if I can, one more thing, Paul, and Anita, maybe you could comment on this. Listening to Mara say, well, we offered Coughlin a job in the organization. As what, pushing paper? Come on, the guy's telling you he still wants to coach again. You wanted to give him a job? You should have offered him the GM job, because in my opinion, he deserved that job. I love you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
I will say this. I totally disagree with Steve. I don't think that that was the intent at all. But let's try to spin this in a positive way, and that is, if Ben McAdoo does become the head coach, you can't take away what he's done offensively for Eli Manning. 65 total touchdowns the past 2 years. His QB rating has been a 92 and a 93, and really arguably has had two of the best seasons of his career.
He's had 4 years of 90-plus QB rating, and two of them here.
Right.
So you're right. You're absolutely right.
So I want to remind you, fans, don't forget the Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Let's continue with our calls. We go to Chris calling in from Texas. Chris, welcome.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon where you are. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
You always do a great job. I got my statement, and then I had a quick question for you because you were in the room yesterday. But as far as my statement, I love Coughlin, and I appreciated what Reese did in the past. I agreed with Coughlin not being the coach. However, I think we punted a lot further than Matt Dodge's punt, and it was returned a lot further back because I really think Reese should have gone with it. We had an opportunity to do something very unique and different in Giants history and start with a new regime. I feel like, and I don't want to get into coaches like you said, Paulie, but I think you eliminate the potential of the Cowers, of the Grudens, even the Sabins. I think you eliminate that potential by keeping Reese on board and seeing how Reese, and I'm going to call it the way it is, I felt like he squirmed, and I felt like, although he was taking responsibility, I didn't think it was as genuine as Coughlin was. Anita, you were right. I saw a side of Coughlin I never have before as a fan yesterday with the emotion. So it's disappointing. I don't think, and I appreciate what McAdoo has done, but I don't think we're a better team next year with either McAdoo or Spagnuolo. We had them this past year. The issue was the personnel. And I don't think we're a better team with one of those two coaching it. So that's the statement. And then I'll just ask you this quick question. Is the media making out what Coughlin did as far as walking in front of John Mara yesterday? Are they making it out to be more than what it really was? Because I did take notice of that when I was watching it online yesterday. But, you and Anita in the room, I mean, is that just media hype?
Can I jump on this one?
Go right ahead.
A couple of things I want you to keep in mind. We're here every day, so we see how Coach deals with his news conferences every day. And he usually bolts out of his news conferences very quickly, very abruptly. It's over. I'm getting to work. I'm leaving. That's the way he usually exits the room. That's not something that just came out of the blue yesterday. So keep that in mind and into perspective, because for those of us who have seen him do that every day, that's the way he does it. And as far as specifically yesterday, emotions on all fronts were extremely sensitive, very high, and quite frankly, very shaky in a lot of ways. So I'm not going to read anything into anybody's actions because I think it's unfair, quite frankly. But that's just me.
Hey, do you mind if I ask you one other quick question without talking about coaches? Because we have such a depth in, or a lack of depth in personnel, I don't care which coach. Would you give up a draft pick for a coach at this stage in the game where we're at?
Well, that's a real interesting scenario. But if the Giants decide that the right fit is from another organization and something is worked out, then that's what's going to happen, because usually teams don't trade players for coaches. It's a draft pick because that's what the other organization's going to want. That's more valuable to them than a player.
What about money?
Usually it doesn't happen that way.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for the phone call. I know we've got a number of people wanting to chime in. 201-939-4513. I mean, another thing, and just to make a point here, is, and I'm sure that there's the offensive staff, the coaches, that are really supportive of Ben McAdoo and really would like to see Ben McAdoo become the head coach, not just, of course, because they want to keep their
right.
own jobs.
Well, the numbers have been very dynamic.
But they have, and I will say this, in speaking to a number of the staff, I mean, there's a lot of support in this building for Ben McAdoo to get the job.
I think you could make a very strong case that if it's not him, and again, we have no idea, that the coordinator for the Giants in 2016, better have a pretty good grasp of the West Coast style offense, because Eli should, not that he can't change again, but at 35 years old, after the miraculous turnaround that he's had the last 2 years with this style of attack, you'd have to believe that either the next head coach and or the next coordinator is going to be well-versed in this style.
Did you find it interesting that one of the questions posed for John Mara yesterday was, because of Ben McAdoo's success with Eli Manning, does that mean that your search for a head coach, if it's not Ben McAdoo, will be more of a defensive-minded coach, so that Ben McAdoo's system, and his, and Mara said, no, we're going for the best man out there.
And you have to do that. But then if perhaps the head coach is a defensive-oriented guy, you would probably think that the offensive coordinator will be versed in this system. You would think. I mean, I'm just going by logic here, folks, because Eli Manning has been absolutely dynamite using this style of offense. I don't know that it makes a whole lot of sense to rip it up and change it.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi.
A lot of people are throwing Jerry Reese under the bus, and I tend to agree. I did a little research last night, and since 2010, we've only had 11 starters come from the draft. Like, that's ridiculous. 17 of them aren't even in the league anymore, and only 23 made the 2015 roster. That's just around 50%. I mean, you know, that's bottom of the league. And then if you look at the trades he's made, we traded draft picks for Darius Renaud, Sage Rosenfels, Keith Rivers, Brad Wing. I'll give that one an A. I love what he did this year. And then John Beeson, who's been injured pretty much his whole Giant career. The dead cap money has just risen, and because of that, we haven't been able to keep players like Linval Joseph or Martellus Bennett. I just think that the writing's on the wall. I mean, Mara said it himself. The roster was flawed. We gave Coughlin a subpar roster. I think he coached his behind off. I don't think he should go. I think it's Reese. I think he gave him a terrible roster, and Coughlin did what he could with it. And, you know, it's just a bad situation, and it's a sad day as a Giants fan. That's all I got, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. I think a couple of comments that were made yesterday by the Giants hierarchy, John Mara said that the roster needs a lot of work. He knows that, and he knows the roster is flawed, and he knows they need to get a bunch of players. And he told Jerry Reese at that press conference, this is up to you to fix. Jerry Reese said, I take full responsibility for the players who we have acquired and the players who are on this roster. So they know that, and both Mr. Mara and Mr. Reese said separately in their pressers, but they were in unison on this, they are examining the Giants personnel department right now as we speak to find out what changes need to be made to fix this, whether that means people, whether that means system, who knows. But they're in a self-examining mode right now to figure out how the Giants can acquire better players, because they realize they have not done enough in that area in the last few years.
All right, we're going to continue with your calls in just a hot second, but I do want us to focus on, you know, whoever they do bring in, whatever changes they do make, really what they need to focus in on with this team. And you heard John Mara in his press conference yesterday. He referred to the defense. The defense needs a lot. The defense more so than the offense.
Had to.
But I think the offense needs some tweaking as well. I mean, let's go first and foremost, the offensive line. Not sure what the status is going to be with Will Beatty returning or not, or what his situation is going to be. There's going to need some more help. There's going to be need some more help on the offensive line. Wide receiver wise, just don't know what you're going to get with Victor Cruz.
Right.
I mean, you know, we were very optimistic that he would be back this year. We don't know if that's going to be the case. You definitely need to upgrade the tight end position in a big way. I mean, mm-hmm. That's a big sore thumb right now. And I think one of the, I mean, obviously you know what you get with Eli Manning in the passing attack, and you know what you get with the rushing attack. I mean, Rashad Jennings finished the season quite well. Then you've got Shane Vereen and whatnot. So I think you're solid with the running backs. I think you're obviously more than solid with your quarterback. But I think definitely a tight end. upgrade on the offensive line, and you need some more help. Again, not sure if Reuben Randall's going to be returning next year. You need some help with this wide receiving core to take all the pressure off of Odell Beckham Jr.
I don't think anybody would disagree with you. I would say offensive line-wise, David Deal, who is a huge fan of Bobby Hart, certainly I'm in conjunction with him on this. I think Bobby Hart's going to challenge for a starting job next year along that offensive line, which would be one less guy they got to get. Because I think he's already in-house. The seventh-round pick this year out of Florida State, who had limited reps, showed he could play a little guard and some tackle. And I think they could get some really good stuff out of him. When they drafted him in the seventh round, you know, this past spring, I think they kind of thought this was going to be a redshirt year anyway. And that he was more of a 2016 project. Well, guess what? 2016's now here. It's January, right? So Bobby Hart, be ready for the fall, because there's a chance there for you to be a starter. So I'm with you on that one.
So Flowers, you think Flowers remains as the left tackle?
I would think so. I mean, he has proven that he could do a real nice job there, and the arrow is only going up. So I would say keep the Flowers, Pugh, and Richburg combination together.
Okay. And just not sure what's going to happen on the right side of the line.
Not sure. Where does Bobby Hart fit in? As a guard or a tackle? David Deal said to me he thinks he's better as a guard. I tend to agree with him. And if you can get yourself settled with a stud right tackle, whether it be free agency or the draft, now I'm looking at a pretty good five. I'd probably like to see it happen either out of the draft or maybe make it a young free agent, because I'd like those guys to be able to grow and be together for 4 or 5 years. I don't want to have to retool that offensive line every year. I don't want an old guy.
What wide receiver-wise, free agency or draft?
Ah, boy. You know, a lot's going to depend.
Both.
I just don't know what's going on with Victor Cruz, because they said I guess the typical medical prognosis for a calf injury of his nature and what he had done, they said about a 3-month rehab, and so Victor had that done I guess somewhere around late November, early December. Now if you take that 3 months out, that's to the beginning of March, which is just about when free agency starts. So I'm sure the Giants are anxious to see where he stands medically before they make any decisions on him. And I think that's a big component as to where you go in terms of priorities and how high the receiver position has to be on your priority list.
Here's some wide receivers. Anquan Boldin, Malcolm Floyd, Percy Harvin, Brian Quick. I mean, nobody that jumps off. Alshon Jeffrey. Travis Benjamin. I mean, nobody that jumps off the page at you right now, just FYI. Kamar Aiken, who really had to step up in a big way for the Baltimore Ravens last year, didn't he?
Well, I think to me, Anita, and I could be...
I'm just saying, there's no big name wide receiver here,
right?
That, you know, like a wide receiver two or a 1B.
Well,
that's jumping off the page at me.
Well, remember now, the list that we're looking at is so preliminary, because by March 1st, there could be guys who are franchised, could be guys who are re-signed. You could have some guys even cut. So the list, the pool that we're looking at today is not necessarily going to be the pool when it opens.
No, I realize that, but I'm just saying, here's a few names that are out here, and especially, like, let's look at the tight end position. Gates, he's a little bit older.
Yeah,
right. Benjamin Watson. He's a little bit older, but actually had some success with the Saints. Dwayne Allen, Kobe Fleener, both those tight ends for the Colts are up for free agency. I love Ladarius Green, but I think he's the future with San Diego at that tight end position. But he's just an athletic freak. Zach Miller is an interesting tight end who played for Chicago last year.
Mm-hmm.
Stepped up at times, but again, no one really jumping off the page at you in regard to free agency with tight end or wide receiver.
It's going to be a two-fold process. They're going to go through the list as Anita did just now, and they're also going to go looking at their college scouting and say, okay, well, who's coming out in the draft? Is it a strong position? I'm going to confess to you, and you know, Anita, I do a ton of work pre-draft. I haven't done my draft work yet. I've been too busy dealing with the busyness of what we've done with the end of the Giants season to start scouting guys. I will be looking at the All-Star games coming up, and then I'll start getting real deep into prospects. But I don't know right now what the prospect pool looks like at wide receiver or at tight end. And you and I both know there are some years where it's just flat out thin, other years where there's a whole supermarket full of receivers that you can grab in the first couple of rounds. So, you know, that remains to be seen. But one thing for sure, the Giants are going to be real, real aggressive and active in trying to, you know, improve this roster because they have to. There's no other way around it.
Some safeties, obviously looking at the defensive side of the ball, safety help, obviously big-time linebacker help, and obviously not sure exactly what the future holds for JPP or Robert Ayers, but definitely, you know, a defensive end who's going to get after a quarterback.
I think it's got to be a bona fide pass rusher in the front seven. Now, does it have to be a defensive end, or can it be an outside linebacker? I'm not sure. I think it's got to be someone in the front seven, though, who can register like 15 sacks. He's got to be a ferocious impact guy. And I'm not going to be married to either of the positions other than he's got to be in the front seven. Is that fair?
I want a defensive lineman who's going to pin his ears back and get after a quarterback.
More so than getting an outside pass rushing linebacker?
Yeah.
And that's fine.
But that's me.
No, that's cool. To me, if I'm going to draft him, if I'm going to draft the pass rusher instead of go free agency, then I'm simply going for the most dominant pass rusher that I can get my hands on who fits the scheme.
Right.
And if he's an outside linebacker, I'll take him. But I think you're right. I'd prefer it to be a defensive end, but I don't think I'm married to that. I would like to see Robert Ayers come back. That's just me. 9.5 sacks this year. 22 quarterback hits.
Right.
And by the way, Robert Ayers, he's jersey tough. I mean, this guy chews nuts and bolts for breakfast, okay? He's a leader. He's a gamer. He works his butt off. I'm a big Robert Ayers guy, and he had a career year this year. I'd like to see him come back, and I think he could be part of the solution. And as far as JPP, you know, Anita, we talked to him last week, and he told us that as far as the club hand's concerned, there's going to be another surgery, and they're going to hopefully improve the grip that he has on that hand by working on that middle finger. How much that will improve him, I don't know. But right now, even he admits, when you watch the films, there are guys getting away because of that oven mitt that he's wearing. He's going to have to be able to get some more flexibility in that hand because there are plays right now that physically he's incapable of making.
Right.
Because
he just
can't latch on.
But he's aware of that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he communicated that on Monday when he spoke to the media. 201-939-4513. So just, a few positions. And also, one thing that's been talked about is, listen, you know, this is a job that many people would love to have. It's one of the best organizations, not just in the NFL, but in professional sport. You've got a franchise quarterback who's going to be here for the next 3 to 5 years. You've got Odell Beckham Jr., who's one of the most exciting playmakers in the NFL. There's going to be a ton of money in free agency. So, you know, the Giants are going to be really proactive and aggressive and really movers and shakers in free agency. I mean, this is, you know, the only thing is it's New York and it's tough. It's tough to coach here. It's tough to play here, because the media,
you better put up.
Yeah.
You better put up.
Let's go to John. John's calling in from New Jersey. John, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Yeah, hi, Anita and Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Two quick points I'd like to make. The first thing is the injuries are so bad on the Giants, especially the last 3 years or so. It seems like we lead the league in injuries every year. And I think if we had even half the injuries that they had this year, you might be sitting at 9-7 this year instead of 6-10.
Well, you know what was said many, many years ago by, I believe it was Dan Reeves who first said this to me. You can't use injuries as an excuse, but they certainly can be part of the reason. And the Giants, with 21 players as they end this season on injured reserve, is the highest in the NFC, second highest, I believe, in the NFL to the Baltimore Ravens. They have been rattled over the last three seasons with injuries. So, yes, that's part of it. There's no way you can ignore that.
But there's got to be something to it because, it's a consistent problem for this organization, and it just doesn't seem to – I know they tried a lot of different things and changing schedules around and doing yoga and stuff like that, but they don't seem to be able to fix the problem.
Well, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Anita, help me out with this one.
I don't think you can pinpoint and say this is the reason why. I mean, you know, do you want to maybe be critical in regard to, you know, their training regimen and what they're expected to do or not expected to do? Again, the caller called in and said, listen, they implemented the yoga and the stretching and the massage and the Pilates and all that to help. We jokingly called it a spa day.
Right.
So that was implemented. That didn't help this year. Listen, it's not like, you know, the Baltimore Ravens are a team that's behind the times. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with luck of the draw in regard to, you know, you're going to have X amount of players that are going to go down, but those X amount of players, are they playmakers? Are they starters? You know, a lot of teams have injuries, but a lot of times those injuries aren't too big name, household name players that are playmakers that people know of. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I absolutely do.
And unfortunately, that has been the case for the Giants, unfortunately. So I think some of it has to do with luck of the draw in regard to, you know, you're going to have X amount of guys that are going to go down. I mean, this is football. I mean, you know, guys are out there and they're out there trying to hurt one another. It's going to happen. It's who does it happen to? And unfortunately, I think for the Giants, it's just been more playmakers than most other teams.
Do you remember last week when Coach was asked about that once again for the millionth time? And he says, look, guys, we did all the weight training stuff we can do. We did all the programs that we could do. And then we ripped the whole thing up. And we went to the GPS devices. We went to the specialized nutrition. We went to he didn't call it the spa day. He always hated that. But you're right. They went to all of those kinds of things. They changed the practice schedule. They did everything exactly like the opposite of what the traditional training techniques were, because they had been getting just absolutely crushed with injuries. And what happened? They got crushed with injuries again. So I was going to say, you're very much into fitness. Do you know of another alternative way to get the team trained that I've never heard of? Because they've tried everything, I think, in God's creation.
No, and I think, listen, I'm gonna put some pressure on the players. Be careful what you wish for. I think the new collective bargaining agreement has hurt as well. You know, because you're
without a doubt.
Yeah, because you're not training properly. You're not getting into football shape. You're not tackling. There's no two-a-days live anymore. That's the kind of stuff that you need to do at practice to get your body ready for the regular season. And it's not happening because it's an agreement that was made in the collective bargaining agreement. So personally, I just don't think guys are ready to play once the season starts.
I think that's got much more of an impact on all of this than a lot of people want to admit. I'm with you.
Let's go to Joe calling in from PA. Joe, welcome in.
Hey, hi, Anita. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
I want to say first, you know what I mean, when Mr. Coughlin said he was stepping down Monday, it seemed like a death in a family or a funeral, and I was trying to understand what he said there. I thought he said if they would have won that last game, he would have went and fought for his job. Is that true, Paul?
You heard that yesterday?
Yeah, so Tom Coughlin said that if because he only won 6 games in back-to-back years, that if he would have won 7 games, that he would have gone in there and he would have fought more for his job. He
right,
did say that in the press conference
wow.
yesterday.
I didn't catch it or interpret it that way.
Yeah.
But
now, I did hear that. And like I said, if I was John Mara, you know, and then Mr. Mara said he didn't try to turn his resignation down or anything. And, you know, and just looking at how they played and losing these close games and this last game against the Eagles, to me it was a win-win thing. We, you know, it was a tough loss. It was the main thing that turned it around was that fluky play where Eli's arm was hit. But we got 500 yards against the Eagles that game. The first game, remember, he was under tremendous pressure against the Eagles. So I'd like to know where the turnaround was. I'd tell Mr. Coughlin, you did a great job. Hang in there. But then I'm trying to read through these lines, other lines where Tom said, you know, when you're talking about injuries and you're talking about schedules, you can only play so many practices and stuff. And some of this stuff has to get to him. And then when you have a practice, he says, Tom will say, where's my left tackle? Like he said, oh, he has a stiff neck. Well, where's the backup? Well, he has a toothache. You know, this stuff gets underneath your skin, too. So I really don't know if all this had something to do with it, too. I know it has to wear on you, and when you lose, it compounds that. And now I'm trying to think here. I really think that we do have our replacements there, either Spagnuolo or prove that he can win. If you give him the ingredients, he can bake the cake. But if he doesn't have it, it'll flop, and it did flop. Now you got McAdoo. We don't know a lot about him, but he in 2 years, the offense is doing great. You can't ask for any more. Now, would Tom come? He said he would be a consultant or something like that for the team. Would he stay? I don't know. What do you think about this, Paul, with these guys? I think we have the answers in-house.
Well, I think that Tom's
going to – Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you. He'll take a couple of days to think about it. And then, the Giants said they'd love to have him on in some other capacity. They didn't define that, though, so I don't know that I can predict anything.
John Merritt, were you watching the press conference? What were
yeah,
you doing, dude?
Yeah, but John just said he'd have a football operation.
He said he'd bring him in as an advisor or, to help with the players because the players like him so much.
That's a rather generic term. I think, Tom would probably want to get
some
specifics.
Were you on Twitter? What were you doing during the press conference?
In the studio trying to get a show together.
Jeez. I will say this, though, in regard to players and their toughness these days, this isn't just Tom talking. You and I joke about it. We joke about it with Banksy. We joke about it with Harry Carson. We joke about it with Howard Cross. Players aren't as tough as they used to be. Heck, Ronnie Lott going to the locker room saying, cut my finger off. I'll deal with it later.
Jack Youngblood playing with a broken leg.
Johnny Unitas playing with a stuffed nose because it won't stop bleeding.
It's a different game.
It is. So it's not just Tom talking about players like that. Everybody talks. I think a lot of the old school guys who played, when football was different. It was different.
I think one of the things that I loved about Coach was that he was old school. And, it to me, unfortunately, with the way the game has morphed, that's a little bit out of nouveau. I'm from that train of thought myself, Anita. And I'd like to see guys, really strap it up and get after it and not talk about tweaks and bumps and bruises and missing practice and saying, oh, I'll be there on Sunday, but I don't have to practice because I'm hurting a little bit. Coach would always tell us, you practice how you play how you practice. And he was right. I mean, I can't tell you how many examples, and I'm not going to name players, but how many times over the last several years, Coach Coughlin, wound up putting guys out there on the field Sunday, but they didn't get the full week of practice in. And it showed. It absolutely showed in their play. Very few guys, and I mean very few over the course of my career, could not practice and then go out there on game day and be as good as they could be. One of the few guys ever. In fact, the first guy who I ever remember was Mark Bavaro. Bill Parcells had to deal with Bavaro because he had had cartilage damage in his knee, and it was so bad that if he was going to continue his career, okay, that was there in the 1990 season, he was not going to be able to practice him. And he would only have so many snaps in that knee every week, and they were going to save them for the game. And Bavaro, my goodness, you talk about tough as nails. And he would go out there every Sunday, and he'd still be a great player.
So, as I said, it's different. It's funny. I have so many conversations with friends who own businesses and whatnot, and they talk about millennials, how difficult it is hiring millennials. Well, think about it. I mean, you're coaching millennials.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and if you're out there and you're a business owner and you're hiring millennials or you're working with millennials, and I feel horrible. If millennials are out there listening, I'm not being stereotypical. I'm just saying, I think it's just a generation thing. I apologize, but it's just a different age. I'm sorry. You're laughing.
It's okay.
One of our producers, you're a millennial. You do a great job. I'm so sorry. I know it sounds horrible.
We're about to get knocked off the air.
Okay. here are some I'm sorry, you want to make a comment?
I want to
share some tweets.
I did want to say one thing about what you just said, and I know I'm dating both of us because we're not just coming out of college now, okay? We've both been in this business for a while.
Tread carefully right now,
thank
Paul
you.
Dottino.
Yeah, I know. Should
okay.
I wear this helmet?
You might want to.
My point to you is I believe even today the college football stars are pampered more than they were back in the day. And that in itself develops a very dangerous culture when they come into the NFL, because now more than ever, they're treated with kid gloves. So is it really possible for the NFL, even if these coaches wanted to crack down on some of these guys? Because they're being babied coming out of school.
201, I don't think they're being babied by Nick Saban.
Not him.
No.
Not him.
Or Urban Meyer. Or Jim Harbaugh.
There are exceptions, and there are still some old school guys out there, but maybe not as many as we'd like to believe.
201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. Also, hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from AJ Marshall. Can the Giants franchise tag Prince, even though he's an unrestricted free agent?
I believe they can. I haven't looked again. Let's see now. They franchised Jason Pierre-Paul. Then they were able to redo his deal when he came back. I think they can, but I'm not sure. I'm going to be frank with you. I don't want to answer the question without being 100% sure, because it used to be you could only franchise one guy at a time, and then I think if you took it off, you had to wait till that guy was off your team. I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to check up on all my rules and off-season stuff when we get there.
This is a tweet from Drew. He says, I personally want to see the Giants return to a 3-4. Can you see that happening with the talent that they have here right now, Paul?
They still have more talent on the defensive line than they do at linebacker. So if you're going to go 3-4, you're going to really have to get a boatload of linebackers in here.
All right, let's continue with our calls.
Good.
Let's go to Jeff in New Hampshire. Jeff, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Okay.
Good. I kind of wanted to come to the defense of Jerry Reese a little bit, because all I've been hearing and reading about is how he should have been canned and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm not going to say he doesn't deserve any blame, because we obviously know part of it is on him. But a couple of things. He's been our GM for 9 years. He had a lot of success those first few years. He didn't forget how to do it. Okay? A lot of things that have gone wrong these last few years, some of it's drafting, a lot of it's luck. Two off seasons ago, he finds a way to sign Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie when we don't really have the cap space. He finagles that deal. We all applaud him, say, great job. We get Walter Thurman, who I thought was a great addition to our secondary, great signing. Everybody thought it was a great signing. Then the guy gets hurt the first game of the season. You know, you can't blame the GM for that. We needed an upgrade on the offensive line, especially a run blocker. So we get Jeff Schwartz off Kansas City, who was one of the leading rushing teams in the NFL that year. Sounds like a great signing. We all applaud him for that. Guy gets hurt, misses the whole season, hasn't been healthy since. So there is an element of luck in these things.
Sure.
He's made some great decisions that haven't worked. They look great on paper. When the guys get hurt, the guys get hurt. As far as the missing on the draft picks, that's what everybody likes to pinpoint on, you know, round 3 to 5, 7, 6, 7, whatever. That's as inexact of a science as you're ever going to get in any sport. The guy who drafted Richard Sherman in the 5th round or Tom Brady in the 6th round, they got lucky. They know they got lucky. And if they try telling you they knew Tom Brady was going to win 4 Super Bowls in the 6th when they picked him in the 6th round, they're lying.
Yeah, because if they did, they would have picked him in the first or second round, right?
31 teams passed on him 5 times. So
right.
Don't sit here and tell me you knew something.
Right.
You took a chance on a player. It worked out, so you look good. If it doesn't work out, they say you're an idiot for, you know, taking whoever you took. Yes, so you need to get some role players in the 3rd, 4th, 5th round. That hasn't happened the last few drafts. I'll give him that. But keep in mind, too, he's not the only one scouting these players. There's a whole scouting department. He has the final say, so he gets the most of the blame. But there's a lot of other people scouting these players, putting that board together. And I kind of view the GM the way I view coaches and quarterbacks. I've always said coaches and quarterbacks get too much credit for winning, and they get too much blame for losing. I think it's the same way with a GM. He gets too much credit or too much blame in a way. One other point, if you are going to fire your GM every 5 years like Giants fans seem to want, we miss the playoffs in 1 year, everybody wants to fire the GM. Look around the league at the teams that do that. Do you really want to be the Cleveland Browns or the Miami Dolphins or one of these teams that's changing front office every 3, 4, 5 years? Look how many coaches these teams have gone through.
Right.
And they're picking in the top 10 of the draft every year. Yes, we've had a bad stretch, but that's what kind of separates franchises like us, the Steelers, the Ravens, the well-organized franchises. They ride out the bad years because they know their system works. You've got to have some continuity. We have 4 more bad years? Yes, then obviously it's time to make a change. But, you know, look at Baltimore this year. Ozzie Newsome is pretty well regarded as one of the best GMs in the league.
Right.
Most well-respected talent evaluator. They've done an incredible job over 20. They've only been a team for 20 years. They've drafted Hall of Famers, won Super Bowls, consistent success. Well, guess what? They were 4-12 this year. Players got hurt, players got old, and he missed on a few draft picks. You don't fire him because he had the one bad year. He has it for gut. He had a little bit of bad luck. He made a few bad picks. You got to ride that out. You can't be just having this constant turnover. And the one last point I'd like to make, the only argument I kept hearing, like, or a caller made the other day, they say Reese is getting credit for our Super Bowl teams, and of course he put those teams together. Reese didn't. Go back to the 2011 roster. JPP, Linval Joseph, Jerry Reese draft picks, Antrell Roll, Chris Canty, Michael Boley, Chase Blackburn, Deion Grant, all guys Reese signed on free agency. Victor Cruz, free agent pickup by Reese. So don't tell me Reese didn't put that championship team together. The 2017, yes, of course he put a lot of the major building blocks in place. You're kidding yourself if you think we're winning that Super Bowl without the 2007 draft class, because every one of those rookies in the Super Bowl game itself, let alone the playoffs and the regular season, had an awful lot to do with that championship.
Sure.
So you got to at least give him some of the credit for that. And I know, like I said, this sports are kind of a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately business, and I understand you got to win, but you just can't have these knee-jerk reactions. 3 years losing sucks. I hate it more than anybody. I've been a fan for 25 years. It's tough to take. I get it. But like I said, you got to ride it out. You got to get. He hasn't forgotten how to do his job, and we don't want to be changing general manager every 2 or 3 years. And I really don't think we want to do it in the middle of Eli's career. You know, if we're going to do it, we're basically, if we get rid of Reese, we're starting all over from the beginning. And I don't think we're in complete 100% rebuild mode. And the last thing we want to do is waste the last couple of years of Manning's career, because I spent most of my Giants fan years as a during the Dave Brown, Kent Graham, Danny Cannell era. I know how rough that is. And I don't think a lot of Giants fans appreciate how good they've had it these last
few
years.
I go back to Jerry Goldstein, so...
Yeah, I know.
And even before that, but... so trust me when I tell you that. Randy Johnson and Dick Shiner and some of those guys, Jim Delgazzo and Carl Summerall, I've seen much worse, believe me. Thank you so much for the call. Very well thought out. You obviously spent a lot of time on your comments before you called us up, so thank you very much. And I will say one thing that the Giants have always valued, Anita, one of the traits that the Giants have always put very high at the top of their priority list has been consistency. And one thing you could always say about Jerry Reese is that he's been here since 1994. He's been the GM for 9 years. He's certainly very much born and I don't want to say born and bred, but he's been part of this Giant system for a long, long time. And I'm sure the consistency is one of the things that they're very happy with in terms of having him here.
All right. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure that we get all the callers
on. Do we
need
to do another spot?
Feel free to.
Yeah, I think we do.
Go ahead.
I think we got to do one more. Fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. I know we started a little late, so we'll probably go a little bit over, but I did think we were short on one.
Yeah, I was going to do that.
Were you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, but it's great. You feel good about it? You feel better now?
No.
Do you feel better now, Paulie? Yeah, okay.
I just need some sleep.
Yeah, okay.
I really do.
201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and you're watching, of course, Big Blue Kickoff Live, coming to you by DraftKings. Let's go to line two. We have Ralph calling in from New Jersey. Ralph, welcome in.
What's up, Anita? What's up, Paul?
Hi.
Yeah, I just had a few comments to make about Jerry Reese and the way they let Tom Coughlin walk. And I didn't really like it, but I guess it was time for a change. But my thing was, I know the draft is like a 50-50 thing, so it's like you never really know what you're getting. But as far as the offseason go, we had Charles Woodson in the building, which we needed help at safety and cornerback. And I know that guy is a hybrid. He do both. So we let that guy walk out the building. And we also had, what's the receiver name from Green Bay?
James Jones.
Yeah, James Jones, and he had a great year. So as far as insurance go, we didn't know what we was going to get with Victor Cruz. So maybe we should have kept that guy. But as far as the draft go, I don't blame Jerry Reese because he had some good draft, but an injury hit some of those guys, and we couldn't keep all of them.
Well, the one guy I mentioned yesterday, Jerry did mention, and thank you so much for the call, was Kenny Phillips, first-round draft pick, safety, who – everybody around the league thought he was going to be a real stud and a superstar, and of course he wound up wrecking his knee, and that was the end of it. But you know, that's one guy who just comes to mind right off the top, that he would have been a perennial Pro Bowl kind of player. And you're right, those things do happen sometimes. Remember Steve Smith caught 100 passes, the first Giants receiver in history to put up 100 receptions, and then what happens? He wrecks his knee. there goes 100 receptions just out the door. It does happen.
Let's go to Steve calling in from West Point. Steve, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing today? Thanks
Hi.
For taking my call.
What you got for us?
I'm sorry, there's a little bit of a delay.
Okay, go ahead. You're on.
Yeah, sorry. I know that we've been talking a lot about Jerry Reese, and that was going to be one of my things. So I'll actually talk about my other point. Let's talk about the team. My other point with the team is I even heard, because I'm like you, Paul, joking, I actually paid attention to the press conference. But they kept saying that, we were close in a couple of games, 10 plays here, 10 plays there, and we could have been a whole different team. And that's so true. But my problem is I don't think really it lied in the fourth quarter. I think, yes, the games were close. I think Tom Coughlin deserves a lot of credit for keeping the games close with the players out on the field. But there's more to me. Where were we in the second and third quarter? You know, we had no production in the second and third quarter. And for most of the games this season. And it seems to me that we were actually a worse second and third quarter team than we were a fourth quarter team.
Okay. I haven't broken down quarter by quarter by quarter by quarter. I tend to grade guys based on games and then based on seasons. I would say this, okay? No matter how bad some of those quarters were, bottom line is the Giants lost six games this year by 4 points or less. And you know about the games they lost on the final play of the games. You know about the game they lost in overtime. So regardless of whatever pickle this team had put itself in, time and time again, they were in position to win. And it didn't happen. And bad execution down the very end or the very stretch of those games cost them those victories. And so I get your point, but they still could have won more games than they had.
Well, I totally agree. But, I mean, when you got 21 guys in IR, you kind of got to give credit to Tom Coughlin for even keeping the guys in the fight.
No question.
You know?
No question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Solid call. Thank you for the phone call. But it was one thing that and the caller brought it up, and it was one thing that Jerry had discussed in the press conference yesterday, and he's absolutely right. You look back, any season, any team, you look back, and I think you can pinpoint there are about 8 to 10 plays that take place in a season that really, really are a part of the outcome of that football game, okay? And in regard to that football game being a win or a loss, I mean, there's and every team has that. I think one of my favorite shows on TV, and I apologize for not – I want to say it's called The Turning Point, or it's on NBC. And so what they do is they take all – have you seen the show?
No.
So what they do is they take every – each week, they take every game in the NFL, and they take the one play that was the turning point in that game.
Okay.
And they kind of – they dissect that play and kind of explain, like, so what happens from that play? Because momentum is a funny thing, right? You can't really define it, but you feel it. You see it happen. You see that tidal wave developing and happening, that momentum, and it's caused by this one play in a game. So Jerry Reese is totally right on that. And I think you can go back, like, right off the top of your head, like maybe that one touchdown catch that a lot of people felt that Odell Beckham Jr. had and then was lost out of bounds. I mean, there's a number of them that really – but – and here I'm – this is where I'm heading with this, is a lot of times those plays are dictated by playmakers.
Yes.
Playmakers.
Yes.
And unfortunately, and we talked about it a little bit earlier on the show, yes, this is a team that has been riddled by injury, but more so to playmakers than backups. And you need those playmakers on the field making those plays that are going to dictate those 8 to 10 different plays that will change the direction. Sliding Mirrors? Sliding Doors? That movie? That really could change a season.
There is a reason why we call certain guys impact players. Because they compile a collection of those kinds of plays over the course of a season. And guys who don't are not impact players. It's really that simple.
Let's continue with our calls, 201-939-4513. We go to Drew in Virginia. Drew, welcome in.
Hey, Nita. Hey, Paul. How you guys doing?
Hi.
With regards to Reese, you could count me in on a bandwagon as to why Reese didn't go as well. Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, you can count me in on the bandwagon. You know, I'm looking at it. You know, the last three seasons, we were, I'm sorry, what was it? 6-10, 6-10, 7-9. And we just didn't have any talent out there. You know, I mean, there was no backup. I understand injuries are a big part of the game. The Giants are not the only team in the NFL that's had to deal with injuries. Some teams are better managers of injuries than others. You know, New England Patriots, although I know they're really getting hit this time. But, you know, bottom line is, you know, it's just a sad day to see Parcells. I mean, I'm sorry, Dad, I'm calling back now.
It's
Tom
okay.
Coughlin to leave, you know, for me, you know, because the other caller was talking about, you know, Giants fans don't understand what they have. I mean, you know, there are a fair amount of Giants fans that have been around the game, you know, a lot longer than the Tom Coughlin era. You know, I know for me, I will tell you right now, I'm young with regards to my football because, for me, I came into, you know, Giants land under Parcells.
You know, well, I go back to Alex Webster and Ali Sherman, so trust me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it's a long way.
You go back a ways, Paul. I get that, but the point of it is I just want to say that not all of us. I mean, I know we got some old heads out there as well too, but my point is not all of us are here are of the Tom Coughlin era, and we don't know anything but winning. You know, it's sort of
sure.
Like, you know, me, I'm a Yankees fan. I go back with the Yankees in the late 70s for me. But at any rate, you know, I was just looking at, you know, we got rid of our offensive coordinator. Then we turned around and we got rid of the defensive coordinator. Then we turned around and we get rid of the head coach. Yeah, Jerry Reese should have been gone. I mean, I don't understand why he's still here. That said, I just hope that whoever comes in behind Coughlin can get this team on the right track because – you know, I do feel like in the NFL, there's a window of opportunity for all teams. And, you know, we have the quarterback in place. We've got some good players in place. And I'm just worried that we're going to waste Eli's last years. Let me make one other point real quick. This goes
yeah, because we're really running out of time.
No, I'm going to just say this real quick because I really agree with Anita. The collective bargaining agreement, I do agree, and I've said this time and time again, is hurting the league in general, and I do agree that players are not ready to play. I also want to say one thing, and I'm going to let you go. Let me say this real quick. I do feel that Tom Coughlin was frustrated because I do feel like some of the players were malingering and probably could have sued up and helped out. That's all I got to say.
Drew, thank you for the phone call.
Final thought, I just want to say it was very clear in John Mara's comments, and it's something that I've been saying now all season long right to the very end. These players respect Tom Coughlin. They played for Tom Coughlin. They never gave up. They never quit for him. And I know as a coach, you know, that's always your primary goal is that your players play for you, and you never, ever, ever want to see your players quit. That's a horrible indictment on a head coach. That never happened to Tom Coughlin, and I know that's something he's got to be proud of.
Oh, absolutely. Are you back tomorrow?
I'm back tomorrow. I believe with John. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. All right. So we want to thank everybody for tuning into Big Blue Kickoff Live. And obviously with all the changes and not knowing exactly the direction the organization is headed, but I'm sure each and every day there'll be new news and a lot to discuss. So we welcome you to please stay tuned to Big Blue Kickoff Live and Giants.com every day, high noon, noon to one, right here on Giants.com. Have a great day, everybody.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got the field. He's got through. 35, 30.